Pentecost. As of today, we start the second half of the year already. And we wonder where the time is going. But it is flying by. And are we, as a Christian people, are we putting into the time that is allotted us all of the effort that is required for us to save our immortal souls? If we fail to save our immortal souls, we are failures. As we judge things, as the world teaches us to judge things, we are failures only when we lose our money, or lose our jobs, or fail to achieve the achievements that this world demands of us. That has nothing to do with the ultimate importance of the success or failure of our having been put here by Almighty God. The only thing that matters, the absolutely only thing that determines whether we are successful or whether we are failures, is whether or not we save our immortal souls. Of course, this will not be impressed upon us adequately until it is much too late, until at moment when we can't do anything more about it, and that is at the final moment of our life. Only then will it jump out at us the importance of what we're talking about. Only then will we be concerned about the things that we failed to do in order to ensure the salvation of our immortal souls. Only then will we come to the fullest realization of what it's all about. And it has been said, and you have all heard it, we have all heard it, as we live, so shall we die. Now, sometimes we come to the erroneous conclusion that we shouldn't be all that scrupulous about things, and that we will have the opportunity of a deathbed confession. Well, I might say, don't count on it. Maybe yes, maybe no. We do not know what will be available at the moment of our most supreme need. We think sometimes our supreme need is whether the bank failed on us, or whether we have money in the bank or not have money in the bank, or whether we own property or not own property, or whatever, whatever. But those are not supreme needs. The only supreme need is that personal thing that pertains to my immortal soul. And we must live. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to go around living like monks and nuns, as they do in convents and in monasteries. We try to present in our bulletins a spiritual way of life. The average way of looking at this today, we ourselves look upon this, I use the word formation. Today, the average priest does not know what formation means. Many of us do not know what formation means. We take it to mean a training process. And my favorite retort to that is, we train horses and we train dogs. We cannot be trained to save our immortal souls. That puts us on the same level with horses and dogs. Rather, our souls must be formed into the image and likeness of God, and somebody has to form them. You know, we ran into an idea up there at home, and it brings out vividly the situation that we're all really in. And it's a grave situation, serious. And if we're not careful, if we don't try to pick up what is presented to us, we might just lose out. Because you do not learn how to become a saint from a book. You read about things from a book or in a book, but you don't know how. Books do not make saints of us. And we've come to this startling discovery. I did. That the priests that are moving around in what we today call the traditional Roman Catholic Church, and with the exception of about four or five that I know personally, with the exception of about four or five men in this country, we speak only of this country, that for the rest, not a single one of them was born when I entered the seminary. And that's pretty bad. Therefore, the continuity of the ages, which is a thing that we have to be very, very, very severe about. The continuity of the ages is about to be broken. And it is not a matter of us setting down a set of rules. And these young men that we have in mind at the moment find it much easier to live with a set of rules. And we've made religion a set of rules, which it isn't. Religion is not a set of rules. Religion is a life that has to be led. It is a living. It is a formation of the soul that is within me. That is what we have to improve upon, live and act upon. Our life is our soul. Our soul is our life. And it is in the interior being. That's what we are constantly trying to present in our bulletins, the interior life. You've spoken to others, sometimes they come around, and the first thing they want to talk about is the conditions of the church, or whether there's a pope, or whether there isn't a pope, or whether the priest held his hands right at Mass or not, and other trivia that absolutely, when you ask yourself, is it essential for my salvation that I do or do not believe this or that? Concerning whether there is or isn't a pope, for example. What has that got to do with my eternal salvation? The answer to that is absolutely nothing. The only thing, the only reason why you and I have come to this point on this globe this morning is not to discover whether there is or isn't such a person, or whether there is or isn't this or the other point of religion that we are arguing about at the moment, whatever that may be. That's not the reason why we came here. If that's what you want to know, take up a correspondence course and do it from home. If the only reason why you came here and why I came here was to give praise and honor and glory to Almighty God. That's all. And in these days and times, when it's not like it used to be, if we don't have Mass in St. Anne's Church this morning, we'd go across town and go to St. Mary's Church, or maybe we'd go to St. Patrick's Church or St. Somebody's Church. They were across the street from each other. That's no longer the case. If it becomes impossible for you to come to this point at a given moment, whenever or however, to give that praise and honor and glory to God, that's not your fault. Then do second best. Give praise and honor and glory to God in your own home. That's why we speak of the monastic altars. These things don't pop up and go away for me and for us in our bulletins. These are instructions that are ongoing. Is this not a new idea that swept in? Nazareth is not just, it's in today's bulletin concerning the Blessed Mother. And this time, we're bringing to your attention the words of St. Teresa concerning our attitude toward the Blessed Mother. And I recommend very highly that you read this very carefully and see how St. Teresa reacted toward the Blessed Mother. And are we reacting in the same way? Or is our reaction emotional and bubbling and bubbling and bubbling? You know, quiet. Quiet. It is in the silence of our souls. If we can just silence the noise in our souls, we will hear the proper words that we are supposed to hear. We will not hear the word of God as long as we are the ones that are doing all the talking. We have to learn, or rather we must, yes, we have to learn the proper way to continue giving honor and praise and glory to God, not just for 1 hour on Sunday morning, but for every hour of every day, of every week, of every year. But how do we do this? By having a proper interior disposition. That's where it all is. And we have to come to know this. This, we speak of the Catholic experience. You know, at the present moment, this is only just, I'll use this as an example, but we hear this over and over and over again by telephone, by letter, by visits, by whatever. At the present moment, there happen to be two gentlemen that are visiting our monastery. They had a motive, actually, for coming there. They're older men, and that is for joining the monastery, but of course this, unfortunately, is out of the question. And they know, they understand it. And they hear what we usually are talking about as of right now. And the common expression that comes from these people, and this is not to be taken as some kind of boast, because it's stupid to boast of this. It's a sadness to speak of it, actually. They said, right away, they went there 20 minutes in the conversation. We have never heard this kind of language before. Because in wherever they are, right away, the Sunday morning sermon is, don't go to heretics, this is heresy, that's wrong, don't believe this, don't believe that, don't believe the other thing. Not a word is said about, well, what am I supposed to do to be able to save my soul? Go around calling everybody other than myself a heretic? But this is what it has degenerated into. So, my beloved people, do not be afraid. If there are times when you wonder, the thing to do is to go off into your room and shut the door and pray. Just sit there and give praise and just simply tell your God, tell your Lord, tell your blessed mother, I love you. That's all. That's all that's necessary. And let us never be guilty of looking at anyone else and judging anyone else's actions. Let us look only to me. Let me be examining my conscience and my conscience alone. Let the other person alone. Let the other person work out his salvation. I have to work out mine. This is what we have to understand. So now as we approach the second half of the year, and you turn around and ask yourself, well, where did the first half go? We haven't even put the Christmas things away, figuratively speaking. And it's already time now to start ordering Christmas flowers. Can you imagine? And the second half of the year, well, now, when you start the countdown, today is the fourth Sunday already after Pentecost. It'll be the 24th before you know it. So life is flying by as we are rushing to our graves. Let us put first things first. Let us keep our priorities in order. And let us give to God the things that are God's. May Almighty God bless you and keep you forever and ever. Amen.